Good evening, dear friends, and welcome. It is so good to be with you again this evening. Our Christ candle has been lit as the symbol of the light that is always with us, within us, and within everything as a central being. So we know that our intention and our attention matters. And therefore, we place ourselves intentionally under the canopy of the work this evening and give ourselves to it, knowing that we can receive being food of the highest influences. Food to serve others, food to serve our own being. So this evening's opening reflection comes from a great being of our time, whose formal religious heritage is perhaps not our own, but nonetheless, he resides, I am sure, in the highest places of human consciousness, and that is His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, whose 86th birthday will be celebrated next week on July 6th. In October, October 14th, to be precise, of 2012, His Holiness spoke to a very large, crowded meeting room at MIT of about 2,500 people. And his honored guest, who were on the stage with him, included Thomas Keating. And the Dalai Lama, during that conference, stated that the universal human values include the wish for happiness, compassion, and the need for community. They reached beyond all religions as universal principles. And Father Thomas agreed with him. We might say in the work that such a person that lived by those principles had conscience with a capital C. So I'd like to offer a quote from His Holiness from many, many years ago. He said, as a practice, every day, think as you wake up. Today I am fortunate to be alive. I have a precious human life. I am not going to waste it. I am going to use all of my energies to develop myself, to expand my heart out to others, to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. I am going to have kind thoughts towards others. I am not going to get angry or think badly about others. I am going to benefit others as much as I can. I related the story last year that a group of us from the Church of Conscious Harmony went to India and had an audience with His Holiness. And during the time of our private audience, His Holiness turned to us and said very pointedly and intently, "The religions of the world have failed humanity. It is now up to small groups like your own to work on behalf of all." So we take that gift, and by doing our own work amid the struggles of our ordinary lives, let us remember that there are light beings on this planet. And by our work, we can honor and celebrate them and just perhaps meet them and join with them. A small note, an announcement this evening. During the registration process for the Journey School, which occurred at the beginning of the year, a number of people indicated an interest in having a work partner, but at that time they were new to the school and hadn't had the requisite 6 months of participation. And now suddenly the 6 months has passed so quickly. And although I am contacting each person personally to ascertain if he or she still would like a work partner, I invite anyone that I perhaps missed or anyone at all that would like a work partner but is not to please contact the office and let your wishes be known. And that will hopefully take place in the next week or so. So let us now prepare ourselves to enter that place of stillness of being, a place of imminent trust and receptivity to the higher influences that we have been given and the power that is emanating from the spirit through the circle of conscious humanity, through every one of us. Let us not think about who we are or where we are, but simply to settle our bodies and our minds and our weary hearts, perhaps, and with a straight back and a heart open, a mind and directed attention. Let us just breathe in deeply these influences, knowing that breath, especially conscious breath, is food. And we draw in all being, every part of ourselves, including the parts that may be weary and hurt, everything that may seem dark or harsh or shameful or even maimed and ugly, irreparably damaged, diseased, unforgiving, and unforgivable, wounded, resistant, apathetic, everything. And we hold it as an offering and lift it and transubstantiate it in being as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as loved, in light. I do this as an offering on behalf of everyone and everything. And I breathe out this healing light, this offering of intention and will into the world, all worlds. I hand over all the complexities of the day, all the plans for tomorrow, all the anxieties and small fears of my heart. I lay down my constructed life and yield to the divine human life that is awaiting. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. And so it is. And we enter into the prayer of Lectio Divina. We will read our passage three times, with a silent pause between each reading. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts. Consider externally always, internally never. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts. Consider externally always, internally never. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, consider externally always, internally never. Amen. So I invite you, as you are moved to do so, to simply raise your hand to share. Do you see yourselves as God's chosen one, holy and beloved? Do you know that in a real way? Pamela and Michael, I know you do.
On a good day.
On a good day.
Today I have read thousands and thousands and thousands of words. None of them struck me in the same way that those few words did. Every once in a while, I read something, and my response to it is, quoting Hawkins, that calibrates as true. So rarely do I have that response. But with that passage, calibrates as true. And it just resonated in such a deep and real and quiet part of my being. So thank you for bringing me that today.
Thank you, Michael, for reflecting it back. Amen. I am confident that someone else received something else from this passage. Or maybe you received exactly what Michael did and you could say amen. Billy, please, or Brad.
I'm going to try. I have a puppy behind me that could lose it. And if so, I have to check out. But, you know, the question you just ask, do I feel chosen? I would have to say the majority of the time, no, because I'm identified with something.
Yes.
I'm internally considering. and thinking, generally my thinking is, I don't qualify yet. You know, I haven't done enough or I haven't been good enough. It's usually the not good enough thing, you know. So how could I possibly be chosen because I'm just not good enough? But the words that really caught me were the externally considering always and internal never. You know, wow. It's a tall order, and I wish to be there to externally consider always. I can't wrap my head around what a difference that would probably be in the world, let alone in my life.
Yes.
If I could just do that one thing. It sounds like a small one thing, but it's huge.
Indeed. Thank you, Billy. I join you in that wish. Gay, please.
That struck me was gratitude. And I'm remembering back to when I first met the work, found the church, found this community, which is a few decades ago. It began to occur to me in self-observation that I was not balanced in any way. I had no idea how to feel anything. And the word gratitude would come up, and I would think, well, all right, intellectually I understand what gratitude means. I don't know how or where one feels gratitude, grateful. I didn't dare express that to anyone because it just felt like I was some kind of a, I don't know. And then we started studying the Enneagram, and a very dear friend at one point said, probably the same personality type as me, said, I just want to feel something. So I began to pray to open my heart. And I prayed that prayer every single day. Please, God, open my heart. Let me feel love, gratitude. And that prayer was answered over time. Today, yesterday, the day before, I am sometimes brought to tears with this deep feeling of gratitude for all I have been given and for this life, for this community, for everything. That's it.
Oh, thank you, Gay. Thank you. I'm very grateful for you. Thank you. Leanne, please.
I'm going to have to apologize also for the dog, the puppy. Seems to sleep all day, and immediately when I get on a Zoom class, he perks up. And so what really touched me was the image, and it was so because there was such sweetness and kindness and compassion to me in the images of the dancers. And I also saw in that there must be forgiveness, because you're bound to step on someone's toes or hit someone when you're turning, when you're dancing. So there's a lot of this sensitivity to being aware of the other person and the other people around you. And so that to me was just such a beautiful part of the reading. And I could see it in that image, and it really yes. touched me.
Yes, yes. It's so joyful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Leanne. And Frank, we'll end with you quickly, I guess.
What struck me in the reading was the manner in which all of these virtues were suggested to clothe yourself in it. This one usually has a opinion of self that is either, it's not balanced. It's either too large or too small. But without regard to that, this one can think about clothing himself and clothing oneself in compassion and love and humility are just wonderful things to step into, to put on. And that's what I liked about the reading.
Yes. Thank you, Frank. And thank you for everyone for your attention. And I know that it came to meet you, the image as well as the words, in some place in inmost being. So we take these gifts with us and into our next time this evening. And I'm very pleased to introduce to you Miss Deborah Hale, who's going to accompany us in our journey into dancing with externally, considering always internally, never. And Deborah is also known fondly in our church community as Miss Deborah and the Church Lady. And I believe in that capacity that Miss Deborah perhaps has invited some of her friends to join us this evening. And is that a possibility, Miss Deborah?
It is a possibility.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to you.
Thank you. Well, Marianne, thank you so much for that splendid introduction. My name is Maud. Some people call me Granny. And I'm quite flustered to be here this evening. It's out of my comfort zone, and my donkey friend or acquaintance was supposed to join me here. And it looks like he's chickened out. And nevertheless, I know many of you out there will be relieved to know that we are going to do a pause and review, but we are not going to duck into those little breakout rooms. Some people find them to be a bit claustrophobic. And so we've decided, in keeping with our history, that we shall attempt to do a game show. Now, of course, Tammy Sue would have been the ideal choice for our host, but she still has her knickers in a twist and isn't ready to make nice, as she announced recently on the Church Lady Show. We'll have to address that later, but now is not that time. We have two guests on our game show who are going to be in great jeopardy, but we want to pull another guest from our audience. So if you are interested in being a fool for the work, could you raise your little blue hand and I shall call upon you? And of course, if no one raises their little blue hand, I shall call on someone anyway, some unsuspecting soul. All right, who's our participant? Not one single person willing to be a fool for the work. Oh, wait, Dubley. Excellent, Dubley. I'm so happy that you've joined us on this madcap adventure. Your other participants that you will be competing against, so to speak, are Jill Frank and Peter Haas. So no competition there, right, Dubley?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I want you to know that there is a big prize for the winner. Hee-haw, hee-haw. Now you're talking. I'm going to tell you about the big prize because it's a jackpot. Jack, get it? That's my name, Jack. Well, and I'm a jackass, if you know what that is. So, anyway, you're late, Jack. Well, yeah, I did almost chicken out. You know, I was afraid that it would look poorly on the church lady if I didn't show up. And I think she's already on thin ice. So I'm here and we can get started. Lovely. You do just go ahead and do that. Maud? Yes, Jack. Will you allow me, oh, what is it? Probably not. Well, I was just going to ask if I could share my screen. Oh, well, of course, you're such a nuisance. We'll let you share your screen for your little game. Are you ready? Yeah, I think so. Let me see if I can get this screen share going. Okay. All righty. Is this it? Think it is. All right, now Jill and Peter, are you out there? Can you guys say hey? We're calling Jill, Frank, and Peter.
Hey, this is Jill.
Okay. Hi, Jill. You're going to get to go first, honey. Hey, Peter. Awesome. Howdy, partner. Okay. Howdy. All right. So I'm going to introduce you to today's categories. There's four of them. The first one is programs for happiness. The second one is the deadly sins. The third one is the map of consciousness. And the fourth one is feeding the moon, one of my favorites. All right, we're going to start with Miss Jill. And Jill, you're going to, you're going to pick a category. Can you see them up there?
Yes, I can.
All right, now you get to answer two questions. Now, you know, some fool kid developed this program, I think, because I think in the real Jeopardy, you're supposed to be able to answer with a question, but this time you're going to answer with an answer. All right. Is that clear?
Yes.
All right. Which category do you want, darling?
Feeding the moon for 100.
Feeding the moon for 100. All right. Let's see. All right. I'm going to read the question to you. True or false? All negative emotions have some element of violence in them. A is false and B is true.
B, true.
All right. All negative emotions have some element of violence in them. And you're right. It's true. Well, darling, you get $100 on that one. All right. Do you want to go for that same category or should we take another one? Let's see.
How about programs for happiness for 500?
Oh, you got to start at 100 and work your way down.
Oh, okay. For 100.
You want to go with programs?
Yes.
All right. All right. What program for happiness is triggered when I don't like to lose? Safety and security or power and control?
B, power and control.
Woohoo! Look at you. You're on a roll. All right, honey. That's the end of your turn. And now let's let old Duberly go on. Duberly, you ready to play?
Sure. Look, I got a question already.
All right. That one. Oh, did you? Oh, you're not looking at the same thing I'm looking at.
Okay, let me take Let's programs see. For happiness. for 200. Can I do 200? That, or should I start at 100?
No, this is good. That one's already been taken, so this is fine. Programs for happiness are not the basis for likes and dislikes. Is that true or is that false?
That is true. Oh, wait, they're not the basis. That is false.
I almost got you with that knot, didn't we? All right, let's find out. All right, you're correct. Let's see. What happens when we push that? Ooh, get a little sound. All right. Okay, you can pick another category.
I'll take deadly sins for 100, please.
All right, deadly sins for 100. This should be interesting. Which of these images represented lust and greed in the email way back when? Was it the rainbow, the tornado, or both of them?
I'm going to say both.
All right, let's find out if you're right. Oh, you're right. That is a 100-point question. You got a total of 300 right now. All right, we're going to hear from Mr. Peter Haas. Peter, are you with us?
I am, church lady, you sneaky little creature.
Creature. All right, I think you picked a good word there. All right, which one are you going to take?
Let's do maps of consciousness for 100.
All right, let's see what your question is, Mr. Haas. All right, true or false again. Anxiety and regret are just above 200 on the map of consciousness. True or false?
That sounds true to me. I don't know the map by heart.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think you blew it on that one. They're both below 200.
Oh, goodness.
Oops, no points for you, but you haven't lost the game yet. Let's figure out what your next question's going to be.
Okay, well, let's do deadly sins for 200.
All right, good choice. Let's see what you got. Which of these is more likely to lead to external consideration? Regret or remorse?
I think it was remorse, B. I
think you might be right. Let's have a look. You're right for 200. All right, you're on the board. Okay, now we're going to go back to Miss Jill Frank. And Jill, you get to pick a new question.
How about feeding the moon for 200?
All right, let's see what it says. Afflictive emotions feed the moon. False or true?
True.
All right, let's see what the answer is. Oh, you're right. That is for 200. That puts you at 500, girl. All right, let's give you one more question on this turn.
Feeding the moon for 300.
All right, let's see what we got. The movement around a planet is an orbit or a rotation?
An orbit.
In orbit. All right. You took so long, I was hoping you weren't Googling it. All right. You got a $300 credit on your game now. We're going to move over to Mr. Duberly. And Duberly, you get to pick a new question.
I will take feeding the moon for 400, please.
All right. All right, the intellectual center operates 30,000 times faster than the emotional center. Is that true or is that false?
That's false.
Oh, I think you might be right about that, Mr. Duberly. Yep, it's the other way around. Okay, that one was worth 400. Whoop! All right, let's go back and see what your next question is.
I'll take maps of consciousness for 200.
All right, you're a brave soul. All right, which calibrates higher on that map, fear or anger?
Higher is better, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say fear is higher than anger.
I think you're wrong. It's kind of a surprise, but it's anger. All right. That map of consciousness one's kind of tricky, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mr. Peter.
Yes, ma'am.
What are you going to take?
Let's do programs for happiness for 300.
All right. Which prayer addresses the programs for happiness? A prayer of gratitude, a prayer of happiness, or the welcoming prayer?
Well, that's a good question. It could be either A or C. I've never heard of the prayer of happiness, but so let's just go with A. Let's see what happens.
It's C, the welcoming prayer. Oh, good thing you're okay. Being a fool for the work, though, don't you think?
Yeah.
All right, buddy, let's do another one.
Oh, I get to choose? Yes, so let's do deadly sins for 300.
All right, deadly sins for 300. In the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which of the afflictive emotions are depicted? Is it grief and apathy, pride and vanity, or greed and lust?
Oh, I'd say C, greed and lust.
I don't think so. Pride and vanity.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, with the tax collector, it's kind of tricky because you think it's greed, but, you know, anyhow. Well, we're going to go back to Miss Jill.
Beating the moon for 500.
Okay, going for the big bucks. Animal rage is in the negative part of which center?
Instinctive.
It's the emotional. Kind of a surprise, ain't it? All right, let's go with another question. Which one do you want?
Programs for happiness for 400.
All right. If we have upsetting emotions, where is the problem? Is it outside of us or in us?
In us.
I think you might have got that one. Let's have a look, see. It is in us. All right. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You got 1,200, girl. You're on a roll. Let's see how Duberly's going to do.
You said there's a prize, right, church lady?
Pardon?
You did say there was a prize.
There is. There's a big jackpot.
Okay. I'm going to try Programs for Happiness for 500, please.
All right. Let's have a look. What is the genesis of afflictive emotions?
Genesis of afflictive emotions.
Now, that means where did they start? Where do afflictive emotions start?
Well, we were taught them in our childhood by our parents and our surroundings.
Well, let's find out if that's the answer that the church lady wants. Programs for happiness. What do you think?
I don't think I was close.
All right, Mr. Dubley, thank you so much. All right, it looks like we're going.
You're welcome.
All right, I think this is yours, Pastor Peter.
Okay, let's do deadly sins for 400.
All right. Desire leads to frustration that in turn leads to anger or shame or guilt.
Let's go with A, anger. For me, that's the case.
Whoop, you got it. You got it. That's a $400 one. All right. Now you get to choose another question.
Let's go with deadly sins again. 500.
All right. Complete this line from the prayer of Nicholas of Flew. My Lord and my God, take me from...
Who's Nicholas of Flew? My Lord and my God, take me from myself.
Everything that distances me from you.
Oh, good, good.
All right. Well, sorry about that. You got one more chance. We're going to, this last round, everybody's going to get one question. So it looks like you're going to, Jill, have to take Map of Consciousness for 300, right?
Okay. Yes.
Choosing humility and integrity is A, an antidote for pride and vanity, or B, an antidote for greed and lust?
A, pride and vanity.
A is correct. All right, ma'am. Let's see. That was a $300 one. Okay. This will be yours, Duberly. And really, there's only one choice.
Bring it on.
All right. Map of Consciousness for 400. Which calibrates higher, grief or apathy?
Apathy.
Oh, sorry about that, buddy. It was grief. All right, Pastor Peter, you have a chance for another $500 question.
There it is.
Where does love calibrate on the map of consciousness? Now, this is a number answer.
Oh, my goodness. Let's say it's got to be 400 or 500, somewhere in there. We'll go 400.
Oh, why don't you go with 500?
Oh, okay, 500. These numbers, you know, I'm not a number guy.
Oh, look, you got it right. It was 500. Woohoo. All right, now let me do a little bit of math here. Let's see. Oh, wait. I gave you a 400 credit. Okay, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All right, you got 1,200, Pastor Peter. And Duberly, you got 600. And Jill, let's see, you got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I believe, Miss Jill, that you get a chance to go for the final Jeopardy question. Now, here's the tricky thing. If you miss it, the slippery slope is that the second place person gets to win the whole game. So that would be Pastor Peter. All right. Are we ready?
Right. Yes.
All right. Oh, let's see. Where do we find that question? I don't think I rehearsed this part of it. Maybe we just click right there. Oh, good. We found it. All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
What is the one thing the work accuses us of?
Being asleep.
Woohoo. Look at that. You got it. All right. Now, I bet you was thinking that you was going to get a pile of money for this game, but the jackpot is even better than that. Look at this. It's a pot of jackasses. Isn't that just dandy? All right. So I'll get the church lady to hand that the special jackpot over to you on Sunday, Miss Jill. And thank you all three for playing. Let's all give them a round of snapping. All right. Well, that's the end of the pause and review. I hope everybody learned something that they didn't know or remembered something that they did know, and they were glad they remembered it. And we're going to turn it back over to old Granny, and she's got an intervention plan for Tammy Sue that could get really crazy. So fasten your seatbelts and give me just a moment to turn it over to her. This is high tech, y'all. Let's see, I need to do one more thing here. Hey, Granny. What's going on, Granny? Who are all these people in the boxes? This is an intervention of sorts, Tammy Sue. Is this about the church lady? Because she said this and she said that, and I'm not her favorite, and she never called me back. Tra-la-la-la-la. Oh, stop that, Granny. I'm serious. She said this and she said that, and I'm not her favorite, and she never called me back. Tra-la-la-la-la. What? You think I'm singing some kind of a song? Yes. It is your Somebody Done Me Wrong song, Tammy Sue, or we could call it your banking song. Banking? I don't do business with banks. I keep my green energy tucked under a lily pad. But you do have an account, a rather tidy sum. Oh, wait, I won the jackpot? No. That went to Jill Frank. This is an account of your accumulated grudges toward the church lady for not letting you gate crash her show. But she said this and she said that. Stop. Stop singing your song for just a moment. Do you have any idea of the harm you may have caused the church lady with all these shenanigans? No, that can't be right. You disrupted her program on several occasions and embarrassed the church. Jack and I believe that they have banished the church lady back to the fellowship hall as a precaution. Well, did I do that? That is an excellent question. And since you've asked, I can give you an answer without doing violence to you if I tell you. And well, you've humiliated the church lady. She created you, and she's responsible for you, and you've cast her in a very bad light. Well, oh, shit, 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 I did do that. I was just so mad. Well, you turned your back on the lucky light workers. And all of us, you forgot who you are, Tammy. Oh, I think I'm the one that thought up the whole lucky lightworker thing in the beginning. Ain't that right, Granny? Well, I'm sure I don't remember. The only mind I have at my age is beginner's mind. Does it matter? Oh, you're right. It probably doesn't really matter. But what can I do to fix this mess? You've got to close the account, Tammy Sue. You've got to liquidate it. How do I do that? Let's rain on it. What? Rain?
Yes, it's a practice of radical compassion that will help you dismantle the account and help you externally consider instead of internally consider. What language are you even talking, Granny? I got the account part. Shucks, I do have a big list of grudges against that church lady. And perhaps against God and Jack, Red, and myself included. Well, now that you mention it, well, how do we rain on it? Rain is an anacronym for our practice. We will begin with R in the rain, recognize. You've done that just now in admitting that you have a big list of grudges against the church lady. But she said this and she said that and, oh, I'm singing my song again. Oh dear, it's just stuck in my head. Bravo, you recognize that. Recognize all the thoughts swirling around inside you. Well, I want to be important and I want everyone to like me and I want to get all the credit I deserve and I want to, oh, let's see. I want the church lady to get fired so I can be in charge. Now that sounds kind of petty, doesn't it? But how can I even live with myself? I'm just no good. It's a good start to scathing self-honesty, but now you can make room to see uncritically with acceptance. The A in rain is for allow. This is what it is right now. Can you just allow it and be with it? Allow it? Shouldn't I be changing myself to be a better version of myself? First, Tammy Sue, you must allow this moment. You're just going to not just put up with it, but you're going to create some space inside yourself to open to compassion. What comes next? Have we arrived at the bank yet? Can I empty this account? I comes next in rain. Oh no, does that stand for impoverishment? No, dear. I is for investigate. It's time to dig deeper into this account. Let's begin with your inner territory, your home state, so to speak. Look at the streets you've been hanging around on. What do you see in your inner neighborhood? Ooh, yuck. This neighborhood is trashed out. What are those ugly creatures in the corner, Granny? Those are your resentments. Oh, I thought they seemed familiar. Do they bite? I rather think they do. And accounts can have very sharp teeth. Oh no, there's the church lady under a whole pile of resentments. She ain't looking too good. Can you imagine just for a moment that you are the church lady and put yourself in her place? Well, sure, I want to be in her place. I want to have my own show. I want to be all that. Ah, perfect. Now, just trade places for a moment and see what happens. Okay. Oh, gosh, she's kind of old and wrinkly like a frog. I don't like that outfit she's wearing. Doesn't she have anything green? Wait, how do I get these resentments off me? They're nipping at me. How does the church lady feel about Tammy Sue? Does she have resentments as well? Her own disappointments? I don't think she does. She actually loves me. She's not even mad at me. All right, investigate this, Tammy. How is it that she is not mad?
Well, I think she understands why I've been acting like this. And why have you? Well, I'm addicted to attention. I've just been jealous. I want to be on the show every week and not have to share the limelight. I wanted to be her favorite. But we all think Jack is her favorite. Well, I thought you were. No, no, I'm Mary Ann's favorite, not the church lady's favorite. But surely before all this gate crashing, I probably was her favorite. I think she even told me that one time. Well, she told all of us that at one time or another, but I'm sure beyond a doubt it was always true. Does Pastor Peter have a favorite? Maybe I could be his favorite, but that probably won't happen. I'll never even be on the show again. In fact, it's probably been canceled because of me. Tra-la-la-la-la. Oh dear, was I singing another song? What do you think, Tammy Sue? I think I should return to my investigation. I think I have my motive now. Are you ready? Yes. Why do you think? Well, I think it's pride and vanity. Ah, oh, jolly good. Now, let's move on to the N. Oh, no. What does that stand for? Nag, neurotic, nitpick, nuisance? No, dear. N stands for nurture. Huh. Go figure. Nurture yourself by having your future self remind you of who you really are. Take a breath and hear the voice of your future self. What is she saying? Well, she's reminding me that I'm a lucky light worker and that I'm a blessing to the world. You know, Granny, my future self sounds a lot like the church lady. That's weird. I need to go find her. I owe her an apology. Lucky work, students. The church lady and I learned about rain practice from a book we picked up on the Lenten retreat by Tara Brock. The book is Radical Compassion. And now perhaps some of you might be willing to share your insights about external considering. Has anyone ever tried it? Perhaps your sharing could help poor Tammy Sue. So you know what to do. Raise your little blue hand if you want to share an experience of really putting on external considering. Now, don't everyone do it at once. No one has ever externally considered? Well, perhaps you've all had accounts. What did you do to cancel them? How does this even work? Ah, oh, jolly good, Kathy. I'd love to hear from you, darling.
Hello, Granny. I actually shared this story last year, so I hesitated to share it again, but it happened in 2020. And I had a song that I sang, a story I told myself for many years about my brother and what his actions meant. And I was always hurt by our interactions. And I took some of his behaviors very personally, and I had I had invented a lot about the significance of certain things that he did, and it was all about me. And our homework that week was about taking the I out. And I saw it as a really great opportunity to take the I out of the situation. But I really had no idea what to do. Like, how do you just take the I out of the story that you've lived with for so long? And I had this insight all at once that whatever he was going through was an experience. It was like I could put myself into his shoes enough to know that it was his path that led him where he was. Even though I found an important part of my healing to be for me not to make assumptions about what that path was, but I suddenly knew that it wasn't about me at all. And it actually changed like my history. It changed the story from its inception, from the very beginning, to have that moment of externally considering. And it gave me the opportunity to just have a lot of compassion for him and to give him the space that he needed to process his experiences however he needed to. So yeah, that was a gift that came from externally considering.
That's quite lovely, Kathy. Now, how is your relationship with him a year later?
It's as good as it ever has been. It, oddly enough, even though we had these episodic, I guess, occasions that fed my story, where I fed my story, our relationship has always been really good, and it's still very good. And I'm giving him the space to live his life the way he is called to, and I just love him.
What a sweet gift. That's the A in RAIN, allowing. All right, thank you, Kathy. It looks like either Jack or Jackie has something to say, and you can go ahead. Jack, it looks like it's you. Oh, boy.
It's that other jackass. Or perhaps in all of our lives. So I was looking at this week on my reaction to events. And I thought I was pretty good at that after these years. And I recognized that I still negatively react to minor events. And some of them are just conversations that I have between the Jackie S in my life. As we've been cooped up in this house together for 14 months or so. And for the last few days, recognizing that reactions aren't normally necessarily words, but they're facial expressions, they're inflections. And it's been my wish and my perception is that I have been more conscious in that regard as to externally considering my beloved in such simple ways, but nonetheless in such important and huge. And thank you, Trish Lady, and the whole group tonight for making me laugh my butt off.
You're welcome. We do need to work with delight, don't we? But I want to say that you and Jackie, being married, are doing the fifth way work, which is quite difficult. And you're long haulers. You've been at this for quite some time. And it's never really going to get easy, is it?
It is Capital W work. That's why it's called the work.
Indeed, it is the work. Well, bravo for you for sticking it out and for not killing each other during the pandemic, which is huge for all married couples.
Obviously, she's still alive.
Hello, Jackie. Good to see you looking so well. All right, it looks like Rebecca has decided to be brave and raise her little blue hand.
I do feel brave, and thank you for calling on me. I have two stories which are different, and I'll make them really short.
We have plenty of time.
Oh, thank you, darling. And it's so great to be able to call somebody granny at my age. So the first one happened many years ago when my children were young. And I think my son was a sort of preteen. And every couple of weeks, I met in a group of four of us adults who met to talk about our dreams, but we always started with sharing about how we had been and, you know, what had happened during the time since we last met. And I found myself complaining about my son and how I felt that he acted in certain ways that were in direct response to me. Like he acted in certain ways that I took offense at and felt that he was acting in certain ways or not acting in certain ways, you know, specifically to drive me crazy. And one of the men in the group, who was a father of children about the same age, said to me, "Rebecca, did it ever occur to you that he is not doing these things to you? He is just doing them." And that was just a huge wake-up call for me. And at that point, I could, and at that time, I knew nothing about the work, nothing about all of the things we've been studying. But it was an example of getting out of my inner self that was taking offense at everything my son said and did. And just realizing he was doing what he had to do at that time, and I loved him anyway, and it had nothing to do with me. So that was one time. And then another time happened much more recently during my tenure as a work student. And there was a woman who moved to town that was a friend of a friend. And because the friend we had in common was such a good friend of mine, I wanted to do what I could to have her be my friend also. But she would go on and on. She would send me texts that were very critical, and, you know, she was mad. She was mad at me. She was, you know, very critical of everything about me. She suspected me of the worst possible motivations. And at first, well, I will have to say that I just did not know how to respond. And then at some point, I realized that she had me confused with somebody else. There was something about me that was a trigger for her, and she responded to me as if I was this other person. And at that point, I stopped being insulted. I stopped being, you know, trying to figure out what I had done wrong, et cetera, et cetera. And I prayed for her, because in our study of external and internal consideration, one of the things I remember, which is sometimes the only thing I can do, is to pray for the other person. And that's what I did in this case. I also blocked her on my phone, which was a big help. But but it was so clear to me that she was not engaging with me. She was engaging with someone else who I reminded her of. And so I just had to let her shadow box and excused myself from the situation. So that's what I have to share.
Well, thank you so much, Rebecca. You know, the church lady has had both of those experiences in common with you, from the son and also from someone mistaking her and spreading all kinds of rubbish. But it is an account that can be emptied. And I think what you hit the nail with prayer, because that's really the way that you can go about doing something like that, just wiping out the account with prayer and understanding. Well, thank you, Rebecca. Let's hear what Lynn Roy has to say.
Hi, Granny.
Hello.
Several years ago, I took a tour, and one of the places that we visited was a very famous cathedral that I was just so excited about being able to tour. And I was anticipating it to be a very spiritual experience. I was just so looking forward to it. When we arrived, there were so many people there. It was very crowded. In fact, when we got in, it was almost shoulder to shoulder, and I was bumping around, and I could barely keep up with my group, and I was becoming frustrated because what were all of these people here for? I couldn't enjoy this cathedral. I was not able to see the things I wanted to. And then suddenly it shifted. And I began to realize that everybody else there was there for the same reason, that I probably was the annoyance to them. And with that, there was this openness. And despite the others being there, I certainly was able to enjoy the cathedral. And I left feeling so much better than when I had started in.
Well, what I love about that story is that you were on holy ground, and you managed to shift into a sacred space within yourself to welcome your fellow worshipers with grace. Thank you so much. Well, we do have time for more sharing. If there's anyone who would like to be a fool for the work, external consideration, that's what we're talking about. In case you've forgotten or fallen asleep, wake up now. Ah, yes, Frank Ivy. Lovely, lovely. We'd love to talk to you, Frank.
This teaching, which we've seen many times before, but which we're on right now, of externally considering always and internally considering never, is so timely for this one. I am the eldest of 10 children, and from time to time, various siblings and children of siblings have lived in my house with me for months. And I have a sister who has been a victim for the last 25 years, first of a divorce and then of the most horrible happening of her 30-year-old son dying of COVID last March. She's coming to live with me, and she wallows in it. And it is, I've already done the internal considering part, so I can see what my looking at it is. And so I think I'm ready to externally consider, put myself in her shoes. But I know that it will be a tall order, because it will be constant. And it's close to home. But I appreciate the teaching and look forward to practicing it.
The email really gets into some detail that I think will be quite helpful for you. It just felt like it's such a similar situation that is dealt with in the email. And it definitely goes much deeper than anything that Tammy Sue and the church lady had going between them. And I applaud your generosity in welcoming your sister in, and we all know that this is not going to be easy. But remember, your home is holy ground, and the Holy Spirit is there with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Well, it looks like there are no more little blue hands. We could look at the homework, if we've come to that. We have some really wonderful homework. And let's see if I can share my screen again. All right, I'm seeing the Jeopardy game. Are you seeing the homework? All right. So it's awfully tiny, but I did make some big stretching out a few of the things that I thought were really the high points. The first paragraph is really begin to notice the typical songs that you sing. And it goes into a little bit more detail, but really start noticing. And then maybe you can just say to yourself, tra-la-la-la-la, when you've busted yourself. Because that's sort of a gentle way of calling yourself out on it, and then you can do the work around it. And then secondly, and I think this is going to be very important for all of us, is to externally consider a particular person. Now, Frank has got his work cut out for him, and perhaps you do as well. But if you haven't already chosen someone that you think you need to externally consider, give it some thought. Spend some time and pray about it. But look at what happens in your interior neighborhood when you're around people. Do you start finding resentments in the corners? Maybe that will be your indication that you can work with that person. Now, the other thing that I made big was everything is a grace. And that's something that Thérèse Lisieux said. And I think that saying is sometimes hard to grasp, as the email says. How, we may ask, can everything, everyone, be a grace? Think about the person that was so rude and mean to Rebecca. How is this person a grace to her? Everything and everyone is a grace. We're invited to lean into that. And I think that's going to be jolly wonderful. And perhaps a little scary. Now, there's two commentaries that you can read. There's so many more following it, but internal considering and external considering 1 and 2, and those are in volume 1. Now, if you've read those recently and want to go ahead, the whole book is full of information about internal considering and external considering. So there's plenty to do. And take one of those exercises, at least one, maybe several, and work on them this week. And then you are also walking in nature, and there's just a wonderful description of that, sauntering. I did that today. I pretty much always saunter when I'm walking in nature, being a large creature. But anyway, try sauntering and see if that's different from hustling and bustling. And Mary Ann, I'm going to turn it over to you now. I think I've just about had it.
Well, Granny, you have been such a delight. And truly, if you would stop sharing, we can see one another shortly. Thank you.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, thank you, Granny. You are indeed my favorite, indeed. And I look forward when I can see you again in person. I hope it is very soon. So thank you very much. And we will conclude with our friend, Rodney Collin. To examine our conscience does not mean to score up against ourselves. All the times that we have failed to carry out our aim, that only increases our self-importance. To examine our conscience means to go through the day and see how many people have taught us something, how many people we should be grateful for. To say, what have I done wrong, is to think only of oneself, to think of them, not I. I is worth nothing, but the aggregate of I and them is worth something. So thank you, friends. And we conclude our evening in gratitude and in prayer, the prayer of God's love. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen, and good night, beloveds.